1 Samuel chapter number 14 tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 14. Before we go to the Lord's Supper, we want to take some time and look at a contrast between two men, Saul and Jonathan. Now, I don't know if you've studied this out or not, and really thought much on the character of Jonathan, but I believe as I study his life, and if you would do the same thing, maybe you'd come to a different conclusion, but I believe as I study his life, I believe he could have been as great of a king as David was. I just see in him the same kind of characteristics, and I kind of tag those two things together about what kind of king he would have been with the nature of his response when he found out that his best friend was going to become the king. If you study out Jonathan's life and you just take stock of the humility, the graciousness, the love that was expressed to his dear friend David, I believe that though the Bible doesn't say necessarily as it does about David that he was a man after God's own heart, I believe you see a lot of the same characteristics in Jonathan that you see in David. And I believe that's really why they chose each other out and became the best of companions. They were really brothers born for adversity because they really went through a lot of adversity together. I don't have this in my notes, but I do want to state this for all of the youngsters that are here tonight that might say, you know, my dad has not been a very spiritual man, or my dad has not been a spiritual example. You know, in spite of what your parents have done and in spite of what decisions your parents have made, you can be a victor for Almighty God. I believe that that is borne out in this chapter because, as we've already seen, Saul's tendencies are already beginning to show. And the fact that Samuel has already confronted him about some things and he responded in a way that was not right. And yet, Jonathan, Saul's son, continues to follow Jesus Christ and Almighty God. You know, kids, in spite of what choices your parents make, God's going to hold you accountable for the choices that you make. And you can be a victor for Almighty God instead of being a victim as it would be presented in this world's eyes. The world would say to the next generation, oh, you have every excuse to just be a victim, and they're looking for opportunities to claim victimhood, if you would. But you can be a spiritual giant for your Lord Jesus Christ in spite of the choices that your dad and mom may have made. 1 Samuel chapter number 14, the entirety of the passage or the entirety of the chapter reveals a contrast between Saul and Jonathan. And I want you to see this contrast tonight. We'll look at it in about six different points, and I'll just make reference to them and we'll walk through this chapter. Not necessarily reading every verse, but it's a great opportunity for you to kind of digest these things and the differences that we find in these two men. Let's ask God's blessings upon our time tonight. Then we'll jump into this. Lord, thank you for the privilege that I have to stand before these folks. This is an undeserved privilege, and I break forth the bread of life, and I pray that you'd give me discernment in presenting these truths, and I pray that each one of us would see this stark contrast, really between a man that was living for himself and a man that was living for his Savior. And I pray that you bring conviction to each heart and that this message would find fertile ground. That we would recognize the strengths of Jonathan and recognize the weaknesses of Saul. Lord, help us to do what is right by you, first and foremost. I know that there are young people tonight that have come from maybe a broken home or a home where one or more parents is not following after the truth of the Word of God, and by all intents and purposes, they could throw in the towel and they could follow after. And I've seen that happen over and over and over again. But every once in a while, there is a youngster that determines to follow their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in spite of the example that's been set by a mom and a dad. And I pray that you'd encourage that young heart tonight. I pray that you challenge them that they might be like Jonathan, and they might overcome the example that's been set in their very house. Lord, direct my thoughts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we look at the lives of Saul and Jonathan, I want you to see these themes, and I believe that these themes will reoccur throughout the coming chapters of their lives. So now we're going to tag or have a kind of a tag team look at what's now going on in the lives of Saul and Jonathan. Would you notice with me, number one, and we'll walk through these rather quickly tonight because I believe that they're pretty self-explanatory. But number one tonight, Jonathan is a man of action. Saul is a man of inaction. Jonathan is a man of action. Saul is a man of inaction. Would you look at verses 1 and 2? Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side." But he told not his father, and Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. The very first thing that we see is that Jonathan is ready to go and to fight the enemies of Almighty God. Whereas Saul stays back, and though he's got 600 men with him, and Jonathan is going to venture out with just this one man, this young man, and they're going to go over and see this Philistine garrison. Saul is back, kind of taking it easy there under the pomegranate tree. We find that Jonathan is a man of action. Saul is a man of inaction. Proverbs 22 and verse number 13, the Bible says this: "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets." Well, if there's a lion without, I better not go out. I'll stay in. You know, if you have that attitude, you're going to stay in bed a long time. I remember back to some difficult classes early on in college. And maybe you'd look back to your time in school and you'd look back and you'd say, "Man, I will never pass this class." But then you realize, hey, I passed it. And then the next year you have an even tougher class. And you say, "Man, I'll never pass this class." And then you work hard and you pass it. And when you look back at some of those earlier classes, you're saying, "Oh my goodness, that was easy." We have those kinds of classes. I know some think that they're all the classes for the junior class or the senior class. But no doubt in a few years when you're in a tougher part of life, now I think in this stage of my life where I am dealing with more things and have more things on the table, I look at it and I say, "Oh, for the days of Greek class. Oh, I long for the days of history of Civ, where they were asking me about ancient civilizations. Oh, for the days of college where I had one bill, and that bill covered light and power. It covered food. It covered the roof over my head. Oh, for just one bill." I look back and I say, "Oh, to go back to those easy days." But we see men like this. Jonathan says, "Listen, it's time for action. Let's go to it." And he takes one with him while Saul's there under the pomegranate tree with 600. Number one, Jonathan's a man of action. Saul's a man of inaction. Number two, look at verses 3-7. Jonathan chose to himself the right companions. Saul chose the wrong companions. Who is going to be there to encourage? Who is going to be there to challenge? We note here in the Bible, look at what the Bible says in verse number 3. "And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother." Do you remember that name? Yes, all the way back in 1 Samuel chapter 4, that baby is born to the spouse there with those two prophets that were so wicked. And she says, "Just name my boy Ichabod, for the glory has departed." And the Bible says that's the kind of companion that was surrounding Saul. The Bible says, "And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other Sina. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come, and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." And his armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy word." So the one is hanging out with, the glory has departed. Ichabod. Can you just imagine walking through life and saying, "Hey, my name is Fred. This is my best friend, Ichabod." It's the nature of their companions. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you have sharpened friends or do you have dull friends? "Well, I think my friends are kind of dull, Pastor." That's not what I'm saying. "Well, I don't know if my friends are the sharpest tacks in the box." Well, are your friends challenging you to be more like Christ, or are your friends challenging you to walk away from Christ? Again, we see a difference in the companions that were chosen. Number one, Jonathan's a man of action. Saul's a man of inaction. Number two, Jonathan chose himself the right companions. Saul chose the wrong companions. I praise God for the companions that God has brought into my life. It seems like he always brought the right men at the right time because I was in desperate need of a great companion. And I praise God for good companions. "Pastor, have you always been the best of companions?" Boy, I sure look back and I say, "No, but I'd like to be a solid companion. I'd like to be that iron that is sharpening someone else." Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Young people, listen to me. Your friends determine your future. Jonathan chose to himself the right companion. Saul chose the wrong ones. Number three, Jonathan's a man of faith. Saul's a man of fear. I won't take time to read all of it, but we find here in verse 6 through 17 that Jonathan, in fact, goes up against them and wins a great battle. I tell you what, let's walk through it. Let's walk through it tonight. The Bible says in verse number 8, "Then said Jonathan, Behold, we will pass over unto these men. We will discover ourselves unto them. If they say unto us, Tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, Come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us." I mean, this guy is a great man of faith. "And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. The Philistines said, Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they have hid themselves. The men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearers and said, Come up to us and we will show you a thing." This is a military speak, right? "Come on up here. I'm going to show you a thing or two, all right?" And that's exactly what they were looking for. "And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, Come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel." This is exactly what we were requesting of the Lord as to whether or not we should go up. "And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men. Within, as it were, an half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow." So again, this is a man of action, not a man of inaction. He's chosen the right companion, and he steps out on faith and says, "Listen, I believe God will give the victory." Now again, let's take the stoutest of 20 men in the room right now, and then let's pick the stoutest other two men, and let's say, "Okay, guys, go at it right now." Well, how many of us would side with the two? I think most of us would probably side with the 20, and we'd say, "This won't last long. This won't be a long fight. Those 20 guys are going to take out those two guys." But we find from the passage that Jonathan and his armor bearer are victorious. Jonathan, a man of faith. Saul, a man of fear. who's going out after the enemy. Saul's back taking roll call while Jonathan is routing the enemy. James chapter 1 and verse number 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven in the wind and tossed. He's a man of faith. Number 4, Jonathan fought for the name of God while Saul fought for the name of Saul. Jonathan fought for the name of God while Saul fought for the name of Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 14, again verse number 6. Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. He understood who the enemy was, what their nature was. And it says, it may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. He's going in the name of the Lord. Can you see the same thing in the life of David? We'll see it in chapter 17. But he said, you've come to me in the name of your gods. I come to you in the name of the living God. And he defeated Goliath there on the battlefield. Look at verse number 24 of chapter 14. This is what Saul said. And the men of Israel were distressed that day. For Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged of mine enemies. He's saying, look, guys, listen, we're going to do all we can. Why? Because I want to be avenged of my enemies. What a difference between these two men. One going to fight in the name of Almighty God, the other going to fight that his own name might be addressed. Saul saw nothing greater than himself, whereas Jonathan went to fight on the Lord's behalf. Number one, as we walk through this, Jonathan is a man of action. Saul is a man of inaction. Number two, Jonathan chose to himself the right companions while Saul chose the wrong companions. Number three, Jonathan's a man of faith. Saul is a man of fear. Number four, Jonathan fought for the name of God while Saul fought for the name of Saul. Would you notice number five with me? Jonathan was wise in his decisions, while Saul was irrational and foolish. Again, let's reread this verse, verse number 24. And for those men and women that we have in our audience that are in the military, I want you to think about what this sounds like when you're in the middle of battle. The men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. Let's read further, verse number 25. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. That's the oath that was made by Saul. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in an honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth. And his eyes were enlightened. He received physical strength. Then answered one of the people and said, thy father straightway charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? The people were exhausted, and in the middle of their exhaustion, Saul said, for my name's sake, I don't want you to eat anything until the day is done. This does not make sense. This is the statement of a man that is irrational and foolish, and he's not thinking on behalf of his military. Jonathan has just come back from a defeat. He did not hear the command. He partakes. He receives nourishment. He's strengthened by it. And now he's ready to fight again. But Saul's not thinking. And how often does that happen? When there eyesight is blinded by their own agenda. Saul's blinded by his own agenda and by what he wanted to accomplish. And so Jonathan comes back and he says, look at what we accomplished today. How much better would have the victory been if everybody was able to take nourishment? This makes no sense. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 14. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Saul, again, is blinded by his own agenda. Irrational and foolish, where Jonathan was making a wise choice. Look, I'm exhausted. I need physical nourishment. And he takes it in. He's refreshed for the next battle. Number 6. Jonathan had a consistent walk with God, while Saul only sought God in time of trouble. Have you ever interacted with a foxhole Christian? It may be that there's a time in your that there's been a time in your life where you were the foxhole Christian. There's no daily Bible reading. There's no daily prayer. There's no time where you show and demonstrate your dependence upon Almighty God, but then you go to the doctor and get a diagnosis, and now you're in church. And then the diagnosis comes back clear, and it's okay. Everything's all right. And you're like, God, I've got this now. I'll be okay. I'll be back to see you when I face trouble again. Isn't that the tendency for any one of us? To kind of be a foxhole Christian. Lord, if you'll get me out of this, I'll follow you. Lord, if you'll get me out of this, I'll do ministry. Lord, if you'll get me out of this, I'll be more faithful. I'll do thus and so. But, well, everything's looking good now, God. I've got it. Jonathan had the consistent walk. Here's the nature of Saul's walk. Would you see it in verses 18 and 19? Saul said unto Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God. For the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass when Saul talked unto the priest that the noise was in the host of the Philistines, was in the host of the Philistines, went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thy hand. Listen, let's fetch the ark. Let's go and get the ark. That's the answer. But we see a much different attitude again. Let's continue in the flow of Saul. 1 Samuel 14, verses 35 to 37. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord. The same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. And Saul said, let us go down after the Philistines by night and spoil them into the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them. And they said, do whatsoever seemeth good unto you, unto thee. Then said the priest, let us draw near hither unto God. And Saul asked counsel of God, shall I go down to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into the hand of the Israel? But he answered him, not that day. So again, we see this again and again with Saul. Hey, let's fetch the ark. We'll get God's opinion. Everything's going good. We don't need the ark. We don't need God. But then the time comes, okay, now let's bring this back in. God, should I go? And there was no continual conversation between Saul and Almighty God. Why not walk with God in the good times, so that you are prepared in your walk with God in the difficult times? For each and every one of us, we have a choice tonight to make our walk with God the priority. It goes back to the song that's been sung tonight, Trust His Word. I have to trust God's Word when the sun is shining, and I have to trust God's Word when the difficulties hit. So let me ask you about your life. Would your life mirror that of Saul? Irrational, laying back, choosing the wrong kind of friends, seeking God out when times of trouble hit, would that be the indicators of your life? Or would your life be that of Jonathan, a man of faith, a man that was willing to face great odds for the name of Almighty God, a man that walked with the Lord in the good times and was then prepared for the difficult times. Let me ask you a very straightforward question tonight. If your name was to be put alongside of one of these men for the eternal Word of God, who would it be alongside of? Would it be Jonathan and you, or would it be identified with Saul? You know, we all make choices every day that will affect our future. And I pray that we would be wise and follow the example set forth in this chapter by a dear man named Jonathan. Let's pray.